from Cairo Radio back in Seattle.
Good to meet you, Chris.
Very nice to talk with you. As I set my levels on the recorder here, if you would please give me your full name, title, and spell it for me, and we'll go from there. So go ahead.
Okay, Daniel E. Link, L-I-N-K, and I'm a lieutenant commander, Navy. I'm stationed in Oak Harbor, Washington, and I'm the wing chaplain there. And how's that? Pretty good?
Yeah, that's good. So you're based in Oak Harbor. You're up there at Whidbey, and so you're the base chaplain. And so now over in Afghanistan, I'm assuming you're doing the same kind of drill, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm here for a year. Been out here 8 months so far.
All right. So I think... I mean, I've talked to a few chaplains throughout the years, and I think a lot of people don't really have an idea, you know, if they see chaplains from, you know, Saving Private Ryan, you know, it's like, you know, you're a man of God who also carries a rifle. It's probably not all cracked up like that right now, is it?
No, sir.
Tell me about what your day-to-day kind of ops are.
Okay, you know, we're big into physical and spiritual fitness out here, so... I do CrossFit first thing in the morning and get up about 5 in the morning and do an hour of CrossFit, and then I come back to the room and shower, and then I Skype home to my family, try to catch them before they go to bed at night, and then after that I'll have some breakfast and head on into work. Every morning I send out a daily devotional to the folks over at Eggers where I'm the garrison chaplain, and so that goes out, and then check on just usually to see what the business of the day is. We receive a lot of material from the states that is part of our voluntary community relations program. So during the day we'll receive that material. Once a week we take that material and sort it, and then we put it in bags that are meant to be given to Afghan families or taken to children at schools or orphanages. And once a week we do missions out to these places to camps where there's internally displaced persons or to orphanages or schools. And our hours generally, I'm in the office till 10 o'clock at night, either doing counseling or answering communication and walking around the camp visiting folks, and so I stay pretty busy here. Makes the days go fast.
So in other words, it sounds like there's an awful lot more to a chaplain's life than, you know, walking around, you know, giving communion if that's what you have to do, or, you know, just a reading or sharing time or, you know, showing guidance. I mean, I didn't realize you did so much outreach to the Afghanis.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's I probably spend as much time involved in the Volunteer Community Relations Program as I do preparing for worship on Sunday.
So do you, what's that like when you say you go visit the schools and the orphanages or, you know, for people in camps who are displaced? I mean, are you just like an ear to bend, a shoulder to cry? I mean, it's kind of the same role that, you know, you might play if you were making rounds, say, at a hospital.
Well, to give an example... One of the more interesting visits we've made has been to this mission. It's called Ashiana, and they reach out to street children. So these are like the poorest of the poor, the kids here in Kabul. The parents of these kids are living in the internally displaced person camps or refugee camps, and the kids are expected to help, you know, earn money so that these families don't starve, you know, because they're really, literally living hand to mouth. Well, we found out that at this one mission, at Ashiana mission, that during the winter they had no way to heat their rooms, so the kids are in the rooms trying to learn while they're shivering. So we had some money that had been donated by active duty and contractors out here, and we took that money and purchased some wood-burning stoves because it's about the cheapest way to heat here in Kabul. And and then we purchased what they call a donkey cart of wood, because that's how they sell it out here. Took some wood to the school so that they could heat their classrooms. Well, you know, stuff like this. When you go and you do things like this, take school supplies to the kids, and just seeing the smiles on the kids' faces and the appreciation of the Afghan people, it warms our hearts. And it was just a great way to reach out to the folks here and win the hearts and minds of folks here. So we're glad to be able to be a part of that, and I'm just real happy to be able to direct a program like that here.
Let me ask you this, Daniel: the amount of counseling that you do. I mean, you've been in the service long enough to probably kind of see, I guess, the change in, you know, the way soldiers are dealing with things or opening up in the ways that maybe they are now that they weren't before. How have you had to kind of tailor, you know, the message or the counseling, you know, for these guys and gals who are dealing with these multiple, you know, deployments, not unlike yourself, who've been over there a couple times. You know, well, how's that changed what you do?
Well, you know, it's interesting you should mention it, because if you look statistically speaking, you know, probably most of our counseling is relationship related, and that's the thing that's strained the most by the multiple deployments and the long deployments, and that's probably where we see the greatest effect. But if you look at the statistics, the divorce rate itself for the military hasn't gone up from what we've seen. So I think it says a lot about the efforts that we're making in the military to help families become more resilient, and soldiers as well become more resilient and strong so that they can endure these stresses. And so when folks come to us, we try to help them out, you know, in sort of a self-help way to help them to become more strong and resilient in their relationships. And, you know, just like we would want a soldier to be more strong and resilient physically and spiritually as well.
Do you think, I mean, you had mentioned you get a chance or try to Skype your folks before they go to bed back here in the States. Do you think that technology and the ability to, you know, see or contact a heck of a lot more often than they used to goes a long way in trying to kind of keep those fragile lines together?
Yes, sir. When I first came in the Navy 15 years ago, our only communication was snail mail letters. And the next step for us in the Navy then was to be able to send emails from the ship, and that was a huge step in terms of keeping in contact. Well, I would say, you know, Skyping and that kind of technology has really been another great step that helps us stay connected, and it's been very helpful, I think, for families to be able to do that. But there's also folks that are serving in locations out here where they don't have that ability, where, you know, they're living in tents and in cots, and their food and supplies are flown in. They don't have that ability. So us who are serving in places like here in Kabul and the bases here are just very fortunate to be able to have that ability.
Are you finding that, I know the military has the reputation, you know, that tough guy, you know, kind of the thing. Are you seeing a more of a willingness from, you know, those tough guys or gals to want to open up, and, you know, they're more comfortable sharing their feelings these days? I mean, or are they still kind of tough nuts to crack?
I think they're still pretty tough nuts to crack for the most part. I haven't seen a lot of change so much that way in terms of that.
Daniel, here's one that is probably the loaded question in the book. I just got done talking with one of the majors at Fort Lewis about the changes in the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And they said, you know, the chaplains and the senior folks, they got all the training first. They get the training first because they've got to send it on down the line. What do you envision, you know, that in, you know, in terms of extension to the battlefield with the new training and things coming on? How do you envision that making any difference or changes? Or, I mean, do you see that being a big impact in the battlefield?
No, sir, I don't.
Have you undergone the training?
We're out here to complete a mission, and, And I think we're out here, we're more focused on the mission and things like that. Those things are, you know, certainly they're important for us to discuss, and you know, we're concerned with how how that's all going to play out. But I think we just have to trust in our leadership that they know what's right and follow in that direction. And so that's what we'll do.
So what do you get a chance much? I mean, you're in the office till 10. I mean, you got your CrossFit in the morning. I mean, that doesn't seem like that leaves you much Daniel time to kind of relax. Do you get much?
Oh, we get a little bit. Thursday night for the chaplain section, is our designated pizza and movie night. So we order some Siano's pizza and kind of kick back and watch a movie together as a group, and that's kind of fun. And during the day, you know, we'll take breaks and go over to the Green Bean and get a protein shake or some good coffee or something. Sit around and chat a little bit, so we do have time for that. And actually, the weather, the springs here in Kabul are beautiful. Things are starting to bloom, and the trees are coming out. It's a very nice time of year. So, lots of times we'll grab our chow and then we'll sit out on the patio and just enjoy being outside in the nice weather.
Do you is there when you do the chaplains? Are they faith specific in some cases? I mean, or do you have a opportunity to kind of minister to folks of all faiths while you're over there?
Well, that's a good question to ask. We are faith specific in terms of having a specific endorsing body that we're responsible for. But as a garrison chaplain, my job really is to accommodate all faiths, and we make a real concerted effort to do that.
Is that the do you find? Because I was raised Catholic, still am, and so I mean, I can. Do you find other soldiers, you know, who's got a bud who might be, you know, a different branch of Christianity, or someone who might be Muslim, or some? You find them kind of switching back and forth, you know, to whatever service they can get to, just to kind of get a little sense of the Almighty while they're there.
Well, you know, to give an example of that, sir, we have a men's Bible study that meets on Wednesday nights, and there's all brands of Christians, men that get together for that study, and we have a women-specific study. Same thing, just really good attendance at both of those studies, and you know, both Catholics and Protestants of all our varieties come to that with many faith backgrounds. So, you know, out here we all we're all pretty collegial in discussing our faiths and holding to our values, you know, that are dear to us. But we're pretty good about you know, not offending others and their beliefs.
So if you're Daniel, if you're the counselor or one of them, who counsels the counselor? So when you're having a rough day or you need a little pick me up, do you just go to one of your fellow chaplains, or is there, you know, somebody else? I mean, how do you need a little break too, I'd imagine.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we look after each other as chaplains do.
So what do you you're due back what in a couple months? What do you think, looking forward to the most when you get back home?
Well, sir, that's sort of a there's two answers to that question, because I'm one of those folks that waited towards the end of my tour out here to take my R&R. So right after Easter, I'm going home.
Oh wow! So you get to take that and come home early, or? Jim, did we lose the line there? Did we lose the satellite in Kabul? Sorry about that, Daniel.
I've been told it's the weather out here.
Yeah, that happens quite a bit. We were just about to wrap up. I just wanted, you were about to answer me the two-part question of what are you going to do when you get home?
Oh yeah. So when I go home in R&R, I've been told by my daughter that I'm supposed to potty train my 2.5-year-old grandson. So if you've got any hints on how to do that, I'm ready. I think my wife has a few honeydews for me to do, too. But other than that, I'm sticking close to home and just hanging out with the family.
Now, are you since you're stationed up at Whidbey, are you going to get back down to California, or are you most of the crew all up here?
My wife and daughter and grandson are all living with me up there in Oak Harbor, so I'll stay there the whole time.
Oh, that's good. R&R. Well, so good. So, when you have R&R towards the end, do you have to go back and with a quick turnaround to come home, or would you get to wrap it up early?
I'll have about 2 months left when I get back, so I'm hoping the time will go fast.
Well, yeah, the good news is we haven't seen the sun much here in Western Washington, so by the time you get back, it might actually be a decent summer.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. My daughter keeps complaining about the rain. She wants to move back to San Diego.
You know what? I think a lot of us would like to join her right now.
Yeah, very good.
All right. Well, hey, well, Daniel, that's, I think, all the time we do have. Thank you for getting back to me. I really, really appreciate your time and what you're doing over there, and thanks for sharing your story with me.
You bet. It's been kind of fun.
All right. Well, Daniel, you take care. Have a great time on R&R. I can't really help you with your 2.5 to your granddaughter, but it's been a while since my son had to go through that, but good luck.
All right. Thanks.
All right, Daniel. Take care.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.